Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, I'm Katrina Blankenship, your host of Community Radio. Along with many special guests, we look into the strengths and weaknesses of local communities. Did you know that the strength of a community comes from the strength of its people? This radio broadcast is a grassroots project to build communities one person at a time. This Katrina has been through a hurricane myself. Through my journey, I continually meet people who are just like me, and I want to share our lives and our experiences with you. We're all learning on this journey. And why not learn from one another and help encourage and build one another to build a strong community? Listen right here every Thursday evening at 8 p.m. on Katrina.com. You'll be inspired. If you'd like to give us a call during the show, our number is 1-877-598-8549. That's 877-598-8549. Join in with us through Facebook or through our online chat here. Now, it's time for Community Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Community Radio. We're starting just a few minutes delayed tonight. We were trying to get a couple guests on the air and had some phone calls we needed to take care of, and we are so glad that you're with us and joining us on the show tonight. I tell you, God is really blessed in a lot of mighty ways this week with a lot of things that have gone on in our local communities and surrounding communities. It seems like so many people these days are faced with what the boards are doing with the Board of Supervisors and their school boards and all of these different governmental entities from a local level, from a state level that's affecting the people in such a mighty way. And we talk about it every week. You know that we've been very focused on the show to let you know things that are going on in your local community. Of course, with our show being broadcasted here in Powhatan in Central Virginia, we cover a lot of things that go on here in Central Virginia, but we also cover things across the nation with over 70,000 listeners every Thursday night. We are so excited that the word has traveled and the word continues to grow among people of all faiths and people of all political realms, and that we are very focused on building communities one person at a time. But we're very focused on transparency and accountability and for the people that we have elected in office to do the right thing. Now, tonight we want to talk about several different topics. One thing I want to discuss is what happened in our own community in Goochland, Virginia, which is just across the river from us, this past Monday night at a school board meeting. And I want to talk to you about that and talk to you about how things have played out at the meeting and how it was portrayed through the media. And we want to talk to one of the parents that were actually affected by this meeting and their homeschooling family, and we're going to talk to them, and we're going to ask them a couple questions and then let them share with you what their thoughts were, how they had to go in to present their thoughts and their comments before the board. And we're going to talk about these things tonight. I want to also talk to you about how we as a community can work together to build strong businesses. Here in our local community in Powhatan, Sheets opened up its second location today at 522. And I want to talk to you about that in a couple of minutes, about the importance of getting the word out there to the people. You know, I do web development marketing for a living, so of course I'm always talking to the business owners and the managers and things like that from all different kinds of businesses, whether it's small, medium, or large businesses, on the way they actually market their products and market their business to the community. And we're going to talk about that tonight and how important it is to connect with the community and talk to the people on their level if you really want to get the businesses and the citizens of a community to work with you, to communicate with you, and to make that business successful. So we're going to talk about a couple things, and also how the government plays a large role on a local level of the kind of businesses that we have in our communities and how that we can all work together to make them grow. I want to get right into the show tonight because I really do appreciate Mr. Pruitt being on the show with us tonight. I know I've kind of put him on the spot at the last minute. Dr. Pruitt, thank you so much for giving me a few minutes, and I know you are a very busy man, but thank you for giving me just a couple minutes tonight for talking to the people about your situation.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much, and I want to say, I want to let you introduce yourself and tell everybody who you are and kind of how what happened to you and your family, if you don't mind.
Well, we're the Pruitt family over in Goochland County. We have six children that we homeschool under the religious exemption and have been doing that for 10 years here. We applied as soon as we came to Goochland County and got the approval to do it, or got the acknowledgement that we qualified for the religious exemption and had been doing so peacefully for 10 years, and then were notified in November of last year that the policy had changed and our three children age 14 and up needed to reapply for the exemption on their own and provide an affidavit of their religious beliefs as to whether they desired the religious exemption and agreed with our convictions with regard to the religious exemption. So when we got that, we contacted Homeschool Legal Defense Association that we've been members of for over 20 years, and they wrote a letter to the school board that said the Pruitts already have a clear, unconditional approval. There's no legal ground for them to reapply and provide affidavits. And to begin with, we were hoping that would be enough, but the lawyer wrote back and said, you know, here's the policy and comply. Of course, the policy required compliance within 30 days or be referred to the juvenile courts for criminal prosecution. So that kind of got the ball rolling for us, that at that point we had to do something and wanted to try to change the policy. And we were thinking maybe we'd have to end up being charged, go to court, maybe go to an appeals court. But to the credit of our school board, when I called them and said, let's try to do something out of court, they said, okay, we'll reconvene and we'll listen to your arguments. And if you want to bring some other homeschoolers, invite them as well. So that happened on the 13th, this Tuesday. But it was a groundswell. It was not just a few homeschoolers. It was the overflow capacity in the building. So that brings you up to date. I can give you the outcome of it, but I'll just stop there if you have any questions.
Well, my husband and I are also homeschool family, and we were there with you, and I know you didn't know everybody and didn't get to talk to everybody on Tuesday night. We also have six children that we homeschool for religious exemption as well, and the word did spread quickly amongst the homeschool community and Christians throughout Central Virginia and kind of all over Virginia to come there and support you. My best count, and we also publish the community journal and do the radio program, so I was there for two reasons, one personally and also to support y'all and what you were going through, but also to write the story. So I was doing a count. It seemed like there was almost 500 people there. They were a little over 260 people in the room, and the best count I could have when the meeting started, they were at least 200 people in the hall and in overflow rooms. Now,
That
was amazing, and it was an outpouring of support for y'all. When the meeting started, and I'll kind of to let the people know, when the meeting started, And you wanted to be able to tell your story, and the school board told what had happened and how everything had progressed. And then, how did you feel when there was over, I think it was like 40 or 42 people that were maybe on the list to speak. How did you feel when you saw all the outpouring of the people, your neighbors, your friends, people that you didn't even know?
I was blown away. You know, we came and we were worn out, and you know, I was unprepared to carry a lot of weight. And when I saw the turnout and the number of people signing up to speak, and then when I began to hear the quality of the preparation that they had made, the research they've done, and every single person that spoke provided something unique to the whole picture, that it wasn't just a redundant number of people. Everybody had something special, unique, and I just knew that, I mean, this was the biggest move of God that I have ever seen in my life personally, where I saw him orchestrate the news coverage, the, you know, national news coverage, people coming out, people that were moved to do the right research and come up with the right data that was needed at that moment. And it just, God showed off that night. I was blown away.
I agree with you. I agree with you. You know, and you're right, and I love the way that you put it, because everyone that spoke, you know, were pretty much on the same page and on the same lines, but they were so passionate about what they said and so detailed. They had done a lot of research. And the lawyers that spoke on your behalf and on behalf of homeschoolers that get the religious exemption, to stand there and to support those words that are already in the law, it was amazing how many people came from the legal side.
Yeah, and again, only God could have orchestrated that.
Absolutely.
We had HSLDA coming. I knew that. But then all these other people from other organizations that provided such positive stuff, it was, again, only God could have put it together.
Right.
It was just amazing.
Now, you know, and to get people to understand that are listening a little bit better, basically what the school board had done, and did you ever find out, not necessarily to call any names, but did you ever find out why that they really wanted to go back and look at this particular law? Did someone stir the pot about it, or did someone have a vendetta against homeschool children, or feel,
well,
like...
This is what I understand. When school administrators, there is some national as well as state organization where school administrators are part of, and they go to meetings, quarterly meetings, and I wish I had the name of the organization, but a lot of this stuff is pushed in those meetings, telling the school superintendents, you need to go back, this is an issue you need to address, talk to your school board. And I think that it came from that source, because I was told that there was a superintendent's memo, not necessarily from our superintendent, but a memo that went to all superintendents in the state saying, hey, here's an issue that you ought to take care of. And so in part, I think they were pushed from the outside, and then someone brought it inside and began to push. And so that's what I think happened, because there was nothing in our county that would precipitate a need for that. There was no abusive case or something like that.
Right.
So when I got a chance to hear a little bit more of the background, I still think they could have done better and notified us before they even started nailing, you know, banging out a new policy.
Right.
But I want, you know, as the Bible tells us to do, we don't want to think evil of people or impute wrong intent. We want to think good things first, you know, and give them the benefit of the doubt. And so and that's what I want to do. I know that probably there was some thought and some talk in there of the, you know, the anti-homeschool, you know, we know that that's there. But I think that they may have been really trying to do something based on some pressure they were getting from the outside, and they put together something that was really, really not good. And but something that you know, I stressed when I was there, I looked over the school board. I know all those people. I love those people. I'm not angry at them. I mean, and I thank the Lord for the grace of really not being angry, but so I love them, and I'm glad that they did what they did, and they repealed it, and that we're going to get a better policy that's not intrusive. And in the end, I think, and I'm praying, that we'll have a win-win situation where the community will, the wall that had been put up will go will go back down and the community will be one again. And so that's really my desire. And I certainly that's what God would desire, is that we be at peace with, as much as possible with us, be at peace with all men, right?
Right, absolutely. And from what the, you know, from what happened the other night, it seemed to me like it was so, I think, respectful. I will give the school board the benefit of saying they were very respectful to every speaker.
Yes.
They went over, I mean, it was a whole lot of people to be given 4 minutes to speak. And they knew that they had, I don't know, maybe it was 30 people or more, 40 people, however many it was on the book to speak. They knew if they multiplied that number times four that we were all going to be there for a long time. But they were very respectful to listen to what people had to say, and they did ask some questions. They were very thankful, I think, of the lawyer's points of view to bring that, you know, with the wording and all. But I will say that it seemed like God really did work with the voices of people, because people were very matter-of-fact, and they were like they needed to be. They were also trying to get them to understand this is really going to hurt and damage a lot of people. And it seemed like every one of the comments were more in line of, you know, children are not prepared to make these decisions at 14 years old. It was just, it's hard to describe. I know that you and your wife both were very overwhelmed with the response.
I just sit back and watch what God unfolded before us. And just from the kickoff, to the young man that stood up, Collins Mahfood, who stood up and gave the first talk, and he had prepared all of this research, and he's a young in his early 20s, and he's a former homeschooler.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, wow. Everything just wowed me. You know, something that I had looked at a report on ACLJ website, and they had misinterpreted something, and those who are listening might be able to, you can hear my correction on it, but maybe midway through the testimonies, one of the board members on the right-hand side said, how many more of these are there? And some people may have taken that to mean he was tired of hearing it and he really just, you know, wanted to go home. And that's kind of how ACLJ wrote it up. But the reality was that man wanted to repeal it and replace it with a simple one that he'd written, and he just wanted to make a motion to repeal. And so that his intents were good. It wasn't that he was tired or bored or wanted to go home. He was, like, ready to say, let's overturn this thing. So he was the one, you remember at the end, he's the one that said, here's my motion, let's repeal it and replace it with this.
Right.
So.
You know, one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, too, is that the group, the board, did listen to what everybody had to say. And, you know, it seems like, and I know this has been a very traumatic situation for your family, because I'm sure your children were very shocked that you would have to go through this and to write something, and they would have to make an affidavit and then possibly be brought before the board or have charges brought against you as a family. And so I'm sure it's something that you never anticipated would happen in your life and in your family's life. But now that all of this has happened this way and it has brought the community together, do you feel like that it actually was almost a blessing in disguise, because it brought so many friends and neighbors together, and Christians and homeschool families, and it proved how strong that bond is and how God can work through so many people?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I see that Christians, I don't know how many of the folks that were there last night or Tuesday night had ever done any speaking and rising up in the community. I don't know. But people maybe that had never stood and spoken or stood for an issue and defend something, had an opportunity to do so. And so we have people that were strengthened by this, and now they know that if they're willing to stand, that God can bless it. And
right.
So we have people that had a chance to stand together and see God move. You know, as Christians, a lot of times we're just kind of complacent, and we don't expect a whole lot from God, and we don't have much persecution. So we get this opportunity, and people got to see, hey, you know what? God does take care of us when we go through stuff. So I think it was a win-win. And then when we get the national news coverage,
mm-hmm.
and we see people all over the country going, all right, you know, a score for the good guys, and people are starting to say, you know what, we can stand up against intrusion, and we can win.
Right.
And so I think it's helped a lot of people. One of the fellows that spoke was interviewed by the local Goochland Gazette at the end, and he said, he made this statement. He said, this is the closest thing I've seen to 1776 in my 70 years of life.
Wow.
And just think about that. So...
Wow, that's amazing. And, you know, as they did decide to repeal the statement, and they did put a hold, they suspended your letters. Were you the only family that got this letter?
No, I don't think so, because there were some other families afterwards that we talked with that had gotten the letter.
Mm-hmm, the same letter.
And yeah. The same one, and some of them had submitted
mm-hmm.
the affidavits, you know, not knowing, you know,
right.
One family said, we were getting ready to go off on vacation, we just said, let's just do it so we can go, and so, but not, even if they had, they appreciated the fact that we did this, and they're not going to have to do it again, so that's good.
That is a good thing. Now, so they repealed it, and they suspended your case. And on all the people that got this letter, and they don't have to, you know, sign anything or do anything or bring the children before the board. And also, there is something else now with this reading of the new policy. When are they going to, they have to have the second reading on that because of the way that the board works. When are they going to have
yeah.
the second reading?
The 27th.
Of January.
Of January, 27 January, 6:30 p.m. in the same location.
In the same
and
location.
So we want to be there to make sure that they do what they said they were going to do.
Right, right.
But now,
well,
in the meantime, we're HSLDA may provide and will likely provide some input as to how to tweak that statement so that it'll hold up. You know,
mm-hmm.
we want to make sure that it's a statement that we won't have to change.
Right.
And so the man who wrote it is not a lawyer. He was well-intentioned, and it may very well be fine, but HSLDA may provide some input that tightens it up so that everything's covered and we still get what we need, which is
absolutely.
The children not having to do that.
And they're protected.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like the government is just stepping in one, you know, little piece at a time in our lives and all of our lives and our homes and our families, you know, in every situation to try to take over. And it is a wonderful thing, and I think this proves even more to citizens that you have to. You wrote a letter to the editor of the local paper to get this information out there, and that's kind of how the ball got started. And
yeah.
if you had not taken this opportunity and you had just, you know, either said, no, I'm not going to respond or, you know, or responded to the affidavit like they had asked, you know, then none of this would have even happened.
And that goes to show the power of the press. I mean, we bemoan the press. We say we call the press liberal, and a lot of them are. But
right.
The little local Goochland newspaper, a letter to the editor, lit up the world, so to speak.
Right,
that's the way it used to happen in colonial times. That's how people were able to, you know, that's how our freedom-loving founders got the word out, is through their local press. And so
right.
We need to remember that. There's a great power in it.
It really is. It really is. I appreciate your time on the show tonight, and I really appreciate, I know it's late in the evening, that you sharing with the listeners what happened to your family and the good outcome. Yes, following through to the very end, making sure that that new wording is put into place and the policy is changed, and holding the board accountable and holding their feet to the fire to do the right thing. I think it was very admirable of Mr. White, I think was his name, who almost was in tears when he said, I have learned so much from everyone who's spoken tonight. And I think that he truly meant that he learned a lot, and he really appreciated the words from every citizen. I think he really meant that.
Wow. Yeah, I do too. I mean, he seemed to me to be a very humble, kind, and gentle man.
And you know, if only our elected officials on all levels could be that way, to where that when they do make a mistake, say, you know, I am so sorry that I have chosen this path, and then be willing to admit that they have, and admit that they need to change and go in a different direction for the good of all the people, we could accomplish so much more in our country.
Oh, absolutely. So we need to pray that God would humble, you know, all of our hearts and pray for the Goochland school board people, because, you know, this was rough on them too, you know. And so we pray that those that don't know the Lord would, and I believe that there was a good testimony shown through the Christian people, that those who don't know the Lord among them would be drawn to the power of God that they saw exhibited.
Right, right. Well, to God be the glory for all the good that came out of all of this. And on the personal note, I'm sorry your family had to go through so much, but I'm sure it's even strengthened your family and your children. I'm sure it's really taught them a lot.
Oh, absolutely. And it was tough going through it, but we've had, the last 2 days have been more joyous in our home than we've been in a long time.
Sure. I'm sure. Well, I really appreciate you being on the show tonight. We have a story coming out in the Community Journal in a couple of days. I'll make sure you get a copy of it. We took a lot of pictures, and it was a good night, and so the outcome is great. And so we will definitely make sure we stay in touch with you, and may the Lord bless you and your family, and keep on pressing on.
Well, thank you, and God bless you too, sister.
Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you soon.
All right,
have a
bye
good
bye.
Evening. Bye-bye. For those of you that are listening to the show tonight, we really appreciate Dr. Douglas Pruitt. He and his wife and 6 children live in Goochland, Virginia, and they had to submit an affidavit. Their children that are over 14 years old had to submit a letter, an affidavit stating that they agreed with the religious beliefs of their parents and that they were willing to continue to be homeschooled. When we were at the meeting, person after person after person spoke. How much does a 14-year-old really know about the outcome of their life at that age? Now, don't get me wrong. 14-year-olds can be very mature and very responsible. A lot of parents that actually stood up and spoke said, you know, I've raised teenagers, and, you know, I've got a teenager now, or I've raised teenagers, and I can tell you that at 14 years old, they're not really responsible enough to make that decision of, yes, they want to continue to be homeschooled for religious exemption or not. You know, what could happen? And this is the way that this could have played out. If these students said that, and they wrote in their affidavit that they, yes, believed like their parents, and yes, still wanted to be homeschooled, the school board could have still said, well, no, your affidavit is not clear enough or strong enough, and we're going to make you have to go to public school. Or if the child said no, they did not believe like the parents, and they did not want to be homeschooled, the school then would have the authority to take that child, not take them physically out of the home, but to force them to be in school, in attendance in public school. That's very dangerous. So many people brought up the point of, at 14 years old, you can't drive, you can't smoke, You can't buy cigarettes. Well, I guess they could smoke. I don't know. I don't smoke, so I don't know. But they can't buy cigarettes. They can't buy alcohol. They can't drive. They can't do a legally binding contract. I don't even think they can work, I don't know, anymore without a work permit. Not quite sure how that works. But there's so many things that are, you know, on a teenager of that age that they cannot actually do until they turn 18 years old. So the government looks at children as an adult when they're 18, and yet they wanted to use, and what happened was the policy that was written in the state law was a question, and the school board were the ones that created the policy putting the age of 14 on that policy. So the school board was the ones in Goochland who made that policy, and they chose 14. It was an amazing turnout of people. All, and they came from all counties because people spoke and they told where they came from. It was probably about 500 people there, a little less, maybe a little more, on Tuesday night. It was amazing. When we pulled in, and when I got the email, I got the article. Of course, it was covered by one of the local TV stations, and someone sent me a link, and I'd started doing a little bit of digging and started to read more. And then I got an email from a group of homeschooling people who said, you know, we need to go out in droves tonight and try to work together. So we all took the family and went over and were there personally to support them, but also professionally to cover the story and to let you know what was going on. So we really appreciate Dr. Pruitt being on the phone with us tonight, sharing his side of it. And yes, God really worked in amazing ways through these people. If you would have seen them get up and speak in their passion, and we stood in the back of the room, the meeting started at 6:30, and at 10:30 it was still going strong. 4 hours later, there were still people speaking, and the board let them talk. It was amazing. So it was a few minutes till 11 when they closed the meeting out, and then, of course, there was news people there and photographers there and people from TV and also the newspaper there covering these stories, and it was really amazing. I think Mr. Pruitt was on Fox yesterday. I think it was yesterday morning they had him on the national Fox station to talk about what happened, and it was really amazing that they did decide to repeal it. The funny thing was Mr. Lumpkin, who was the chairman of the school board, voted, if they had a unanimous vote that they did not need a second reading of the new policy, that they didn't even have to do this again on January 27th. And out of the whole school board, he was the one who did not vote and make it unanimous. So now they have to go back on January 27th at 6:30. Hopefully they will unanimously say yes, or by popular vote say yes, that this is the new policy and this is the way it's going to be. So Mr. Lumpkin may or may not vote with them. Who knows? I think I'd hate to stand in his shoes and live in the same community, because I think a lot of people really are hoping that he will vote with the rest of the board. We shall see. I was very impressed by the people that came, not just impressed, humbled as a person to see so many people come and speak on behalf of the Pruitt family and other families that had received these letters. It was amazing. We have some serious issues in our own local community that we, you know, hope and pray when there's a big issue at a meeting that you can get the outpouring of people to come to a meeting. And it's sometimes you do. You get a pile of people who will come and at least just be there when things happen. And sometimes you don't get hardly anybody at all to show up at a meeting. So it was really amazing. I want to share with you a little bit about the strategy of Sheets. We talked about this in the beginning of the show. Sheets is actually founded and established in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and the corporate office of Sheetz has been amazing to work with. The marketing director and the district manager has been really great to work with. We actually have an interview scheduled with them next Thursday night to talk about the way that they market their business. Not to tell any trade secrets, but I will tell you, they do something that I think is what is missing in most businesses these days. You know, when I started working with them to cover the story about the new Sheetz opening up, I was looking at it from multiple standpoints. I wanted to let all of our dignitaries and our, you know, elected officials know in the county because they were going to have the ribbon cutting. I wanted to let the community know that they were going to be opening up. There had been a lot of people in the community that hated that we would have another Sheetz, or this makes our second one in our community just a few miles away. There were people that didn't want it on the corner where it was. There were people that were very excited that Sheetz was coming because it brings some more business opportunity and products and services and gas and things like that 24 hours a day on the other end of the county, the western end of the county. And so I was interested in what they were going to do and how they were going to market it, and I was also interested in the way that they were going to present this information to the public. And I will tell you, from a business standpoint, they did an incredible job. They had special invites. They did a lot of giveaways, but they weren't necessarily bribing people to come in. They were still stocking shelves and putting up light fixtures and doing a few things, getting the ATM set up, you know, putting drinks in the box and things like that for the past couple of days, tidying up, finishing up the last few details of the building process. And the building is beautiful. The one thing, though, that they did was they had some special invites, and they went out to the schools, which are close by the new Sheetz, and to the businesses that were close by in the area. And they went out there, and they met with them, and they handed them special invites that they could come in, get a cup of coffee, you know, buy a sandwich or whatever that they were doing while they were still, and of course, new employees have already gotten trained and they're already working for the past couple of days. So Tuesday, Wednesday of this week, they invited people from the community and people from different businesses to come out and check out the new Sheetz. And then today at 10:30, they had the ribbon cutting, and at 11, they were open for business. Now, we were out there today, take pictures. Great response of people. How many people you think was there at the ribbon cutting? 50 people maybe at the ribbon cutting, which was great. They were concerned about having too many cars in the parking lot, so they were, you know, getting the people to be there at the ribbon cutting, but they wanted to make sure that people knew that, you know, they're more than welcome to come there, but they didn't want to have the fire marshal making sure there was too many people in the building or too many cars in the parking lot where they had to park them, you know, in another business across the road or at the post office. So they were concerned about having, you know, a good amount of people at the ribbon cutting, but not too many. And then they opened for business, and I think they did an incredible job. You know, years ago, I remember when I first started my business, going from business to business to business and telling them, this is who I am and this is what I do. So many businesses these days, when you go and visit them, they have no soliciting signs plastered on their door, on their window. I've walked in a business to talk to them about advertising in the journal or whatever we do, and they will point to the sign on the window and motion for you to get out. And it just amazes me how I know that people don't want to be solicited. They don't want to be, you know, bombarded with people coming to their business. But at the same time, if you don't know who's out there, how will you ever know what's going on in your own community? So I think that Sheetz did a good job. I don't think anybody was upset or turned down their invitation. I haven't heard any negativity. And I think that they really did a good job getting their name out there, you know, shaking hands with a lot of people. They wanted to keep it very positive, very upbeat. Here we are. This is what we're going to do. This is when we're going to open. It's a typical, I would guess you would say, on a convenience store level, a big box store, not a mom and pop shop. And it is you know, they're, I forget the number, but this is almost 500 stores now that they have, that they're own, and they're only in six states. The one that they just opened up here also will seat over 80 people, so they have seating inside, and they have booths inside. They have a couch and chair area where people can sit down and talk and get on the internet and things like that. And outside they have tables with umbrellas and a gazebo and a pergola with lights and everything at night. So when the weather gets warmer, Sheetz is definitely going to be hopping on this corner. But they were very excited. This is the first one in this particular region like this one. And like I said, I think it's just amazing how they did their marketing, how they went out there and they met people and they shook their hand and they got their word out there. And it can be done. And I would encourage you business owners that want to get your name out there. If you don't advertise, if you don't go out and pass out flyers, pass out your cards, tell people who you are, what you do, they'll never know you exist. Marketing is not to be placed on the back burner. I'm not saying that to you just because I run the journal and we have the radio program and things like that. But I'm telling you, if you don't have a website that tells about your business and you don't have brochures and business cards and flyers and things like that, and if you're not getting your name out there to people, they'll never know you exist. They don't know what you offer, and they don't know how you can help them. So you can't complain if you don't get business because you don't try. So I would encourage you to come up with unique marketing strategies, something different. Think outside the box. Reverse psychology on people. Do not call me when your pipes burst. And people are probably thinking, what do you mean don't call me when my pipes burst? Sometimes you have to do that reverse psychology with people. And it's all in the way you word it. And then in smaller letters you could say, yes, call me when your pipes burst. We are Joe the Plumber, and we do this and this and this and this and this. And everybody's laughing at me for saying Joe the Plumber. My studio people think I'm hilarious sometimes. When I get to this end of the show at this time of night, I'm a little tired. You have to give me a little bit of a break. But you have to think outside of the realm of your typical marketing. And you cannot put all your eggs in one basket. Do not put them all in the newspaper basket or in the TV basket or the radio basket or the Facebook basket or LinkedIn or however you decide to do it. It has to be a combination of everything. So I would highly recommend that you work harder this year in 2015 to make your business shine and get your information out there to folks. I know with the journal, what we do with the radio program, and so forth. You got to work it. You got to talk it. The more you work it, the more you talk it, the more people know about it. Sometimes I don't do enough. I know that I am constantly getting phone calls from people and emails from people that says, my marketing strategy is not working anymore. I don't know what to do. And sometimes it takes a lot of brainstorming. Sometimes you got to really get together with a smart, savvy, creative group of people and think it out. But don't put the marketing for your company on the back burner, or a product or a service or your church or however you want to get information out to people about your organization or whatever you're doing. If they don't know you exist, they will not come. So I wish you much success this year, and I really appreciate all of those of you who listen to the show and to tell all their friends and neighbors about our show and the journal each week. If we can ever do anything to help you, please give us a call, 804-598-9301. Give us an email, Katrina@Katrina.com, and listen right here next Thursday night at 8 o'clock on Community Radio. May God bless each and every one of you, and have a great evening.
tomorrow all the things are gone. I worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my family and my wife. I thank my God above to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit on down to Houston, from New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand there.